Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
During the summer when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends or alone on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, so you can enjoy all the summertime vibes, whether you're sharing pics from a rooftop, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show episode after episode. So stay connected to your favorite people and your favorite things with AT&T 5G and home internet. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
The Volume.
All right, the NBA season is in full swing. Coming down the stretch, then we move right into the playoffs in April, May, and June. I can't wait. Spice things up with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA right now. All you have to do is put down $5 and get $150 instantly in bonus bets. Pretty good trade-off. I pay $5, I get $150. North Carolina listeners, do not forget. Welcome to the party. DraftKings Sportsbook now live in your state. North Carolina. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Takes 90 seconds. The code is Colin, C-O-L-I-N. Again, 90 seconds. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app. Put in Colin. New customers bet $5, get $150 back in bonus bets instantly. That is the trade. Code is always Colin. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. One no-sweat bet per new customer. Issued as one bonus bet based on amount of initial losing bet. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/promos for deposit, wagering, and eligibility restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, a day later, but never a dollar short. John Middlecoff, former NFL scout. And even though this is the NFL's offseason, there's all sorts of news going on. So J-Mac on our show today that heard FS1 brought up a really interesting point. He's very good at this because he's got a lot of contacts with agents and stuff. So here's Jim Harbaugh just continually saying, J.J. McCarthy's the best player in the draft. I mean, this guy's unbelievable. Well, as he brought up today, Minnesota is poised to move up. Every rumor on every board is Minnesota's moving up. They've accumulated 2 first picks. Well, they don't want to move up to first, second, or third, probably, because then you'd have to give up multiple ones, you know, for a college player. But you could move up to 5 with the Chargers and probably get J.J. McCarthy, because we don't believe, unless the Giants move up spots to go to Arizona spot, it really is very – nobody – Chicago's not giving up their pick. I don't think Washington's given up their pick. Now, New England's open for business at 3 – but I think there's some misgivings with Jaden Daniels' size, some of his style of play, to put him up in New England in that weather. My guess is, so J-Mac said what they're doing basically is Harbaugh saying how great McCarthy is, because if you like J.J. McCarthy, he'd be a reach at 1, 2, or 3. But at 5, if he is a reach, it's not a huge reach if he's projected to be 9, 10, 11, 12. And all Harbaugh is doing is saying, oh, this guy's great. He wants you to spend more to get his 5th pick. And I thought, yeah, that's exactly what he's doing, right?
Well, Adam Peters told the local guys today they're not open for business. They've listened, but they were never open
for business. That's Washington's GM.
That's Washington's GM. I do think the Patriots saying that, here's the problem for the Chargers. Ideally, they would love to do that deal, right? 11, 23, maybe next year's 2. big haul, kind of help reset their roster. Monty Austin Fort, the Arizona Cardinals GM, said, "We have flashing lights open for business," right? Flashing lights. Gerard Mayo said within the last 24 hours, "We're open for business too." If teams trade up before the Chargers, it takes two to tango. Teams often say, "Hey, we wanted to move back or we wanted to move forward. We couldn't get a yes on the other end of the line." What if quarterbacks and teams trade, either the Patriots take a guy or trade back, and the Giants and the Vikings take 3 and 4? What happens to the Chargers if they get stuck there? Because I have a hard time, Colin, envisioning them. And I know these wide receivers are viewed very highly, and I know they just got rid of two. Google Jim Harbaugh's history. And his GM just came from the Ravens. They would much more be inclined to take a lineman. That's more their style high in the draft. But they already have a left tackle. Googling Alt, he's only played on the left side. I think it's a little rich for the Oregon State guy who's more of a right tackle potentially.
Yeah.
They already have two defensive linemen, but you could always take a defensive lineman. I don't think there's a guy viewed as a number five overall pick in this draft at that spot. They could get stuck pretty quickly. Now, they could just take a wide receiver. Do you envision a Ravens GM and Jim Harbaugh taking a wide receiver with the fifth overall pick? I can't.
So I have envisioned if the Chargers got Minnesota's picks and it was two firsts, my first thing I envisioned would be they move back to like, what is it, 11 or 12? What are the Vikings?
It's 11, yeah.
My takeaway is that they would take the Oregon State tackle at 11, maybe a bit high, but he's a bruiser. And they could also use him on the interior if there are issues. And then I think their second pick would be a defensive tackle from like Texas or one of the big interior linemen. Right tackle, defensive tackle. And I'm like, that's exactly the how. And then they'd go get a center. They got 2 fourth-round picks. They're going to get a center of the third or the fourth round. That's what Jim wants to do. He wants to get big. You know, George Young, the legendary Giants GM, used to always say, when in doubt, go big. That's how Harbaugh and Baltimore and the Harbaughs draft. They just go big a lot. Hell, I can make an argument. Zay Flowers is the first home run wide receiver hit that Lamar Jackson's had, Odell didn't make any impact. Mark Andrews has been really the star of the receiving game. So, yeah, I'm with you.
And they took him in the 20s.
Yes.
Right? The Ravens, the Haloti Ngatas, those types, they take higher. Ronnie Stanley, Zay Flowers, are they taking, even though Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze are viewed as top 10, Marvin Harrison, I have a really hard time. Now, maybe Marvin Harrison, he's seen him up close and personal. Maybe he feels very comfortable with that player. But I can't imagine that's what they want to do. But I can already envision them getting stuck. Because if a quarterback goes 1, 2, 3, 4, whether that's trade ups, obviously Arizona would have to trade back. But let's say the Patriots even stay there. What if there's no one to trade with the Chargers?
Well, yeah. So today, the New York Giants, the Mara family said, that they can draft a quarterback at number 6. The Maras said they will allow the GM and the coach if they think it's necessary.
Nice of them.
Nice of them to say you can draft a quarterback. So I think they will. I could see the Giants actually, my guess, I don't know if I'd do Jaden Daniels in that weather. I would much rather have. Don't we both agree it's going to go Caleb Drake, May 1 and 2? Do we agree with that?
Pelissero said today from the league meetings that he's heard a lot of J.J. McCarthy with Adam Peters. And when you think of Adam Peters' history, right, even recently, they won a lot with Jimmy Garoppolo. And then they had immediate success with Brock Purdy. Now, obviously, these two guys are two of the best. I mean, Brady's the best player ever, and Peyton Manning's a top 5 quarterback. He was around those guys in Denver and then New England. So prototypical. And the one guy that he completely whiffed on with the group was Trey Lance. So I wonder if they're more inclined. I heard Drake May forever, but then when I saw that, I don't think that's just getting thrown around, because if JJ could go 4, what the hell's the difference of taking him 2? If people like him at 4 or 5, it's not crazy to think someone would like him at 2, right? It's the same pick, essentially.
If I get new information, I change my opinion. And I'm not your classic journalist, obviously. I'm not a boots on the ground guy, but I texted two NFL GMs today about something. So, and you have the same contacts and the same kind of effort, is that we're both seeking information constantly. And sometimes I just get new information. And I was very cool on Ryan Poles, former offensive lineman, the Bears GM. Velus Jones pick, I could not stand at number 3. I just thought it was a complete whiff. And I thought they just didn't do their homework. or their SEC scout didn't do their homework, because at SC, he couldn't track the ball. He was a returner, Max. I didn't love the Chase Claypool move, but I understood it. Mooney was a smaller player. Chase was a big body, had a great rookie year. Distracted player didn't work. But I got to tell you, as a former offensive lineman, I think he's put some effort into draft capital, and I think their left tackle and right tackle can both play. They had another tackle they moved inside. They've saved his career. I thought the DJ Moore move, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift, Gerald Everett. I've got to be honest. A year ago, I did not trust Ryan Poles, the GM of the Bears. But I've got new information. The other thing they're doing, which the Steelers aren't. The Steelers and the Bears are defined defensively. Their cultures, I mean, outside of Bradshaw and Ben and some talented receivers, it's a defensive culture. He is saying, no, that's not what we're going to do here. We're going to spend money on offense. That's what the Rams do. That's what the Browns are doing. That's what the Chiefs are doing. It's the opposite of the Steelers. So I find over the last 2 weeks when he went and got Keenan, DeAndre Swift, good pass-catching running back, 25-year-old kid, good player, not a great player, good player. And then Gerald Everett with Cole Kmet. Those are functional, smart players. I've got to be honest, between Caleb, who I really like, between these offensive pieces, I almost feel like I've got new information. I think the Bears got the GM right. How is he viewed inside the league?
Well, I mean, I think he had what has potential to be one of the great moves in the history of the league in that trade that he made last year with the Carolina Panthers, right? Because for a while, it looked like he was going to be defined on some of his worst moves that was early on. I mean, that Chase Claypool move was pretty embarrassing because his pick ended up being really high. And I think the Steelers ended up drafting Joey Porter Jr., who's a really high-end player. I mean, that pick at the beginning of the second round is very, very valuable. But that Carolina Panther trade, I mean, truly was a game changer. And if Caleb, he does not have to become Patrick Mahomes. If he just is a top 10 NFL quarterback, which would be probably the best quarterback in the history of the franchise, it would change their franchise forever. And he took advantage of a team and an owner who was desperate and cleaned up, right? And he also added one of their best players who was under contract in DJ Moore. Because my first thought last year when they traded for Sweat, I'm like, God, that's a little much. Well, then they immediately got him. They started winning games. Their defense was better, so their draft pick actually ended up not as bad. They got him under contract. And like, actually, that aged pretty well. I had to kind of eat that. I was like, well, that's not as crazy as it looked. So, yeah, when you work for Andy and Veach and John Dorsey, he was around a lot of high-level people for a while. And I think it's fair. I'm sure you would agree, and you've done this, just like most people. Every human being makes bad business decisions.
Right.
Most people's are not public. As a GM, every move you make is very public, right? So you're going to have bad ones, but it doesn't have to define you if your great moves are awesome. Joe Douglas has had some really good moves for the Jets, but his quarterback moves so far have just not worked out, and it's going to ultimately get him fired if they don't work.
Right.
So if you figure out the quarterback situation, which they are primed to do in Chicago, all these other kind of, they're not even ancillary moves because they were kind of big, have a chance to, if DJ Moore is just in the Pro Bowl for a couple years and Sweat's a Pro Bowler, I mean, we're going to be talking about this guy like a top 10 GM. And if he can get the Bears as a winning operation. Now, as a GM, you're also very dependent on your head coach. There is no great general manager that doesn't either have a good to great head coach. So you don't, once the season starts, you're not implementing anything. You're not with the players.
Well,
you're not doing anything, really.
Look,
so he's
Chris Ballard's Chris Ballard's reputation is going to improve over the next 2 years because of Shane Steichen.
Well, I mean, he might have the next Kyle Shanahan.
Right.
So it's gonna change his life. Right. It already did this year. The quarterback got hurt. We're all like, oh, the culture screwed. All of a sudden they're in the playoff mix week 17 with Gardner Minshew. So there's a lot of pressure on Eberflus. And most GMs get two coaches. So this was kind of a package deal. Polian, remember, was involved with the hiring of these guys.
He was.
Definitely Eberflus. So if this doesn't work out, you get another one, you got to get it right. Because if he gets it right with Caleb and the players, he could be viewed as an elite guy. But if he doesn't, a lot like the quarterback position, just because you have a good quarterback, if your coach isn't good enough, you're going to be in trouble. I think the pressure on Eberflus, Sirianni and McCarthy, because of their markets, because I mean, it's the Cowboys, he has no years left on his contract. They almost fired Sirianni like 2 months ago. Those guys are going to be in their own little stratosphere in the way we talk about it. But I think Eberflus, the pressure starts immediately because of their roster, because of the talent, and because they have a quarterback that we've been talking. It happened in Jacksonville, right? Part of Urban Meyer, obviously there was a lot going on, but like you got handed Trevor Lawrence. So to me, the pressure gets multiplied by like 10. You know, that Frank Reich, all of a sudden we draft this guy at number one, we trade our franchise, I got to fire you. It's not worth it. That adds an element of pressure with the high quarterback pick, or it makes you. DeMeco, get the guy right. We're like, God, DeMeco's a shooting rocket ship. Now, he would have figured it out because DeMeco's pretty special. But I don't know. I mean, Eberflus looks like he's changed his look, feels a little younger.
Have
and hipper.
You noticed that?
Yeah. So his team's good. I mean, there's no disputing the roster talent is. I mean, Keenan Allen's a real, they have multiple receivers. They have a tight end. They got some good, they have picks. It's the other thing. It's not like they just get Caleb, then they don't pick again until the second round. They have the 9th pick in the draft. So the ability to either trade back or take a player. Imagine if they get that right. So they have this really talented roster on paper already, and they had Caleb Williams and player X. If that guy becomes an immediate impact player, I mean, are we talking about this team as a wild card?
Well, if I was Chicago, I'd trade down at 9. I really would. We've talked about the Chargers and the Giants. I think those positions like 5 and 6 are too rich for some of these quarterbacks. 9, you know, if somebody wants to go Raiders 11-9, that's different than 11-9.
Denver's sitting right there too.
Yeah, so I could see where the Bears would move down just 3 spots because this draft, I've been told, has 18 first-round players. It's usually about 15 to 16. This feels like 18 or 9. The UCLA end is kind of the end of perceived first-round talent. You know, the end of the first round, those last 8, 9 picks, it's no man's land. Everybody would rather have top of the second picks. But for sure. But I've heard the UCLA rush end is probably in that small group of last considered elite start day one players, be very productive. So I do think the Bears are in a good spot. Jalen Johnson, the corner, Montez Sweat, defensive line. I would think if they've got 2 receivers now, my take was their offensive moves in free agency signaled that number 9 pick is going to go defense. They got to give Eberflus something, right? You can't just keep saying, I got receivers, I got tight ends. And for the record, I think they probably need, I mean, if you look at that position, there's a verse from Florida State. They could probably use another rush end.
Yeah, you could take the Bama pass rusher as well. You could take one of those 2 guys for sure if you get stuck. The one thing with Chicago, you'd say that division, Detroit kept their offensive coordinator, who I think a lot of people view as the linchpin of that operation. So they're going to be good again. The talent on that roster is not really debatable. It's top 5, 6 in the NFL, the Lions roster. And like most people, it's hard to bet against the Packers if Jordan Love's going to be a good player. So it's not like it's going to be easy for them, right? That they're playing and if Minnesota's just a credible operation with a lot of good, talented players, it's going to be a challenge. And even if Caleb is really good, the NFL's hard. I mean, Peyton Manning set a record for interceptions his rookie year. So it's just the pressure that comes along with it. Now, Caleb, like, you know, a lot of guys in recent memory, has been under the spotlight. He's used to it. He's used to getting paid, so the money shouldn't overwhelm him. But when's the last time the Bears had this much pressure/interest going into this? It's probably 15-plus years ago.
When's the last time they had this much offensive talent? When's the last time the Bears had a legitimate star number one receiver and a legitimate star number 2 receiver? That's just not... That, you know, and a star quarterback. I couldn't tell you the last time he had Jay Cutler. Didn't he have Alshon Jeffrey?
Yeah, he had Alshon. They had Brandon Marshall for a minute. They had those 2 guys. I mean, they were solid. They were a real team. And that's kind of what this. But Jay, by that time, was a veteran player. Played. You know, Caleb's been in Lincoln Riley's offense. There is a little bit of a jolt. You know, yet Waldron runs more of the Shanahan operation. There's time to just get used to playing in a system where you're probably under center a little more. Now, part of it is, as an offensive coordinator, you're not going to force him to do things he doesn't want to do, but you also have to kind of find a middle ground. So I'm fascinated. I like you said, Ryan Poles, I give him an A+ for about the last 12 months. He's been kicking ass and taking names.
Summer is heating up because your favorites are now together with Hulu on Disney Plus. On Disney Plus, the TARDIS has landed for a new epic adventure in Doctor Who. Now streaming on Hulu, uncover a deadly game of truths and lies in the spy thriller, The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. Now streaming Hulu on Disney Plus, available with a Disney Bundle subscription. Terms apply. Visit DisneyPlus.com/Hulu for details.
When the Taliban banned music in Afghanistan, millions were plunged into silence. Radios were smashed, cassettes burned. You could be beaten or jailed or killed for breaking the rules. And yet, Afghans did it anyway. This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we like to bring on Nick Wright. As often as we can. So it's, I think the NFL views the sports world differently. So we all know that big eats small, right? It's just in business, big eats small. Like at some point, Fox is like, we can't build to scale to compete with Disney and Netflix. We're going to sell a big chunk of our business off. By the way, they took Disney for a ride. They got about $80 billion for a movie business that wasn't worth anything. And the $20 billion for the regional sports network that was worth a nickel about a year later. But the NFL has now scheduled another Christmas Day game. So there was always sort of a gentleman's agreement in sports. You know, you get opening day in baseball, and the NBA gets Christmas Day, and then, you know, the NFL is going to dominate certain things in the fall. Now, for the record, I've always believed, and I've thought this forever, that the NBA would be much better served starting 2 days after the Monday after Thanksgiving, the Wednesday after Thanksgiving. Monday, Tuesday is football talk from the weekend. Then Wednesday is a dead day in that sports calendar. NBA starts a month later, plays into early July, because it's wide
sure.
open. Yep. And then, so I've always thought the NBA's got their schedule. They should just move it a month later on both ends, beginning and end. But it is interesting now, kind of the pit bull attack mantra of the NFL. I think they see weakness. I think they see Steph and LeBron getting older. And I think that marketing day on Christmas was a real thing. It was an introduction as we're all home to the NBA. They put the biggest games, the biggest stars, and it was sort of their free marketing day. And I think the NFL had, not that they were getting huge ratings, but they were the biggest regular season game. And I think the NFL sees weakness. I think they watched the NBA during BLM and COVID, lose some viewers for, you know, maybe positioning marketing on that. It stumble a little. Perhaps you can see some ratings erosion there. Sure. And then LeBron and Steph are getting older. The game's getting a little bit more European. And it's interesting. Like the gloves are off. It feels like to me the NFL has said, we're going to squeeze you. And
go ahead.
And I do believe that's a tipping point. That Christmas Day mattered a lot to the NBA, and those NFL games put a blanket over it.
Well, so there's two angles to this. One is what it means for the NBA, and it's terrible for the NBA. The opening day in the NBA is fine, but it used to then have it used to have Christmas Day is a big day. That's going away. The All-Star game. Now it's like, nobody gives a shit about that.
It's a joke.
And now the NBA, both professional and collegiate basketball at this point in this country seem to be moving towards, we really love your postseason. And the rest of it, take it or leave it.
Yep.
So I think it is bad for the NBA in that regard. I also think, and this is where we might disagree, long term, I think this is a massive strategic error by the NFL. And here's why. I think one of the secrets to the NFL's success is all of us, and I don't mean media, just we are in a different spot because it's literally our job, but everyone that loves football has convinced all of their loved ones, spouses, children, whatever, who don't love football, that the games are unmissable. Like, it is, I don't know about you, I think most of your listeners at this point, they don't even get shit from their significant others. When my team is playing an NFL game, they know I am out of commission. I am watching. It is mandatory.
No weddings. It is part of being a fan. No anniversaries.
I'm not going to a wedding. Correct. We won't schedule our own events. We won't, you know what I mean? No one's going to ask me to take my kid to the birthday party that, no. Okay. So here's why I think it's a mistake. It's the same reason I thought that putting on Christmas Eve, that Bills Chargers game on an app was a mistake. Because it's Christmas Eve and it's on an app and people are just going to miss it. And the moment it starts being, and Christmas Day, they put a Raiders game at 1 p.m. Christmas. Those fans are on the West Coast. That's 10 a.m. That's Christmas morning. So there were a lot of Raider fans who just missed the game. Here's why it matters. Now, your significant other or your kid or whomever says, You missed the other. It was fine. You watched it later. You caught up. It, as soon as it becomes, if the inventory becomes so ubiquitous and that you put it on days where people are going to miss, and Christmas people are going to miss some.
Thursday.
Right. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you don't have to watch every game. You thought you did, but you don't. And even if you still think you do, your wife or your significant other, it's like, you do not have to watch every game. I know it because we were at Aunt Margaret's house on Christmas Eve and you didn't watch and you were fine. So I think long term, I think it's a mistake. I'm the only person that thinks this. I understand the ratings are going to be massive, but I think there has been I think all of us, especially as they've added a 17th game, like I whisper, I don't want my kids to hear it. I certainly want my wife to hear it. Like, I cover the sport. I could probably miss a game or two and be okay.
Right.
But they don't think that. They're like, no, it's daddy's watching football. Don't bother him, daddy. I'm like, yes, it's worked. But all of a sudden, you put games on Christmas, they're going to be missed. Like, now I watched the Chiefs. It was my team played at 1 p.m. on Christmas. And that's the other thing. That was also the worst. That was the Raiders game.
Yeah.
It's just a disaster. I mean, didn't lose sense, by the way, Super Bowl champions. I didn't love it.
Yeah.
Cause here's the difference. NBA is watched passively.
Yes.
Even on Christmas, like even the Christmas Day games,
yeah.
It's in the background.
Right.
It's on. And then, oh, it's closed with 5 minutes of them sit down and watch. I don't know how to watch football passively. I can't come in and out of the room and be like, that's just not how my brain works with football. So I don't, and it's on a Wednesday. I don't know. I don't love the Christmas Day thing. I like the rule changes the NFL did. I'm not just trying to bang on the league. I think the Christmas Day thing's a little greedy. I don't love it. And I think it's short-sighted.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. I tend to, I don't know if this is selfish or not. I tend to look at the sports calendar and I see everything through the eyes of what does it do for the production of my show and my staff. So when they talked about 18 games, and that's going to happen, they'll add a second bye week. Well, the season will end. The staff will go dark for a week. Everybody gets a vacation. We'll come back. We'll be right into free agency in the final 20 games of the NBA season. So for me, I'm like,
oh, it's great.
I get rid of two dead weeks of sports talk. But, you know, one of the things, like, for instance, college basketball is a prime example. I can absolutely be fascinated with something for 3 weeks and nothing more. And I think it's the sports brain, like college basketball. This next weekend, Gonzaga, Purdue, will not miss it. These big games this weekend, will not miss it. I don't think the quality of college basketball is great, but I like the Mardi Gras feel, the annual party
feel.
Well,
listen, it's cliche, and it's the only time anyone ever uses this specific word is with college sports, but yeah. It's the right word. The pageantry of it is something.
Yes.
Like the students and the band and all of it, it overcomes the fact that I'm like, I'm pretty sure this team shoots 36% on open shots like that. I'm like, I am pretty like, this is not good.
No,
but it is entertaining. But you're right. I feel totally fine parachuting in.
Yes.
Like I don't pretend and act like I'm a college basketball expert. Right. I'm not. And I came into the tournament. I'm like, I used to live in Houston. I like the coach. I'll root for them.
Yeah.
And other than that, I'll root for underdogs because it's fun. I'll root against UConn because it'll cause Wild's pain.
Yeah.
And then that'll just be it. Like, you know, and then I'm into it. And the women's game has stars that I'm into, but I don't need to have a year-long investment.
That's right.
I just don't. Can I throw a pretty ridiculous,
sure,
but I believe it's correct NBA take at it?
Absolutely. I love these.
Okay. So right now, if you had to pick a team to win the West, you would pick who?
I think the Lakers match up with Denver physically. Now that Karl Anthony Towns is hurt, they don't. OKC's too young. Phoenix too mid-range. They duplicate too many of their skills. I think Denver will eventually a healthy win. I think Boston's deeper, but will lose.
No,
in
I'm
the
just
finals.
Talking about West.
Yeah,
I'm just talking
Denver,
about West. Denver. Denver is the heavy favorite by everyone, right? I agree with you. Even though they're the 9 seed, the Lakers appear to me to have the most upside. Everyone's healthy, everything clicks, all of it. But they can't beat Denver. They got swept by him last year. They got swept in the regular season.
Close.
They lost to him.
Games are close. Yeah,
games are close, but they just can't beat them. Okay. So here is the here is the take. That's going to sound ridiculous, but I truly believe the Lakers should want Denver in round one. And here's why. If you have to beat them no matter what, if the assumption is no one's going to beat them for you, okay? You're going to have to beat them. You want them in round two? When you just went 6 or 7 with Minnesota or OKC and they swept whoever they were playing, you want them in round 3 when the games are every other day, or you want them in round 1 when there's 2 or 3 days between games at times.
Yep.
LeBron and AD can both play 44 minutes. You are as fresh as you're going to be at any point and try to knock them off. When they, you know what I mean? Right before they have really hit their stride. So again, I think the Lakers in a series against Denver are like 15%. And it's not like if they got them in round one, they'd be 50.
But they'd be
30.
But
I think that 15% might go up to around, I truly believe
Listen,
that. I don't think they could beat them if they got every other day. Because you need LeBron to play too much, AD to play too
much. That's right.
But round one would be an intriguing spot. Where you could just play LeBron and AD like the whole game this every time, be like, you have 2 days off.
This has been my theory on the Lakers. If it was March Madness style, like the in-season
they
tournament,
the title.
They'd win the title. And if I was Adam Silver and I wanted to extend KD, LeBron, and Steph's efficiency and greatness, I would make the first round 3, the second 2 rounds, 5 games, and the final 7. If Steph loses in the finals, LeBron or KD, that's fine. I won. But asking older players, even if you're a dominant favorite, you lose games in a series because nobody sweeps anybody. I mean, outside of LeBron in the first round, nobody sweeps anybody. So what's happening is you're making revenue, but you really lessen the chances of the Warriors. And Steph is carrying the Warriors now. He has to go 6 games in the first two playoffs series. If it was three and they steal what Steph takes two.
All of us, you're right. Yeah.
I always said, forget the greed. Shorten the playoff series until the finals, and it allows older players to remain viable in those last 2 to 3 years of their contract or career, like KD, LeBron, and Steph right now.
Well, so that's, and the age thing, this is what everybody, what nobody realizes is how old these guys are in NBA years. Kobe Bryant won the final playoff game Kobe Bryant ever won. He was 33. The final playoff game Michael Jordan ever won, he was 35. Steph is 36. KD is either 36 right now or about to be. I'm going to check. LeBron obviously is 37. We are already on, KD is 35, turns 36 in a few months. We're on borrowed time with these guys. Historic, we've been on borrowed time with LeBron, but we are on borrowed time with these guys. And folks don't realize it. Like, because LeBron has won a title at and finals MVP at 35 and then was in the conference finals at 38, that's not the history. That's not, there is no precedent for that. Those guys are not supposed to still be carrying their rosters. And the Durant thing, man, this is an unbelievable stat. Durant's first 11 years in the league, Colin, he played 49 conference finals or NBA finals games, 1,999 minutes in the conference finals or the NBA finals. So in Durant's first 11 seasons, 6 years, he was in the second to last, you know, series of the year, and 3 years, he was in the last one. In the 6 years he has played since then, he has played 11 minutes in the conference finals and NBA finals. Kevin Durant in his 30s has played 11 minutes past round two.
Hey.
Which is a damn shame, but it is wild that it has happened.
I said it when it happened. I know I'm giving myself credit, but when he left Golden State for Brooklyn, I said, this is the equivalent of Mahomes saying, I have a friend playing for the Jets. I want to go to the Jets. We would go, the fuck you talking about? You're out of your mind. Andy Reid, Steve Kerr, Steph, Clay, Draymond. That is the difference between LeBron and KD. LeBron may have had a difference with teammates. LeBron would be like, this is a cash cow. I'm not going any. LeBron has left old D Wade, crazy Kyrie. He's left untalented Cleveland. If Kyrie would have stayed and Kevin Love, he would have stayed in Cleveland. LeBron has left because of his exit strategies were usually, I can't win
LeBron
here
has left because he thought that this is over. I need to be able to win elsewhere.
That's right. And he did.
And listen, KD, this is where you and I do somewhat disagree. I totally get why KD left, because we all said, those rings don't count, loser. Don't care. Everybody yelled at him, said, you're ruining the sport. The rings don't count. It wasn't the leaving, just the leaving. It was the leaving plus being like, I'm going to go from the lowest maintenance, most reliable wingman superstar in Steph Curry to the highest maintenance, least reliable one in Steph Curry, in Kyrie Irving. Like, going from that to that is what the, and then the Phoenix thing, like, Phoenix built poorly. They you know, the roster never made sense, but it is, listen, KD's no longer a true MVP candidate. He's closer to the 10th best player in the league than the best player.
Fair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That,
which is, but for him too, in the last 6 years, not make it out of round two is one of the wildest things ever for a player of his caliber to not get those. His whole 20s NBA postseason great series moments, he was a part of it. He was a part of the tapestry. And now he hasn't played, you know, a really bit. He's played, in my opinion, in the last 6 years, one huge game. Game seven against Giannis and that was round two. And that was the game where he stepped on the line, where he hit what he thought was the game winner and stepped on the line and then lose in overtime. And that's it. Other than that, it's getting worked in round one or going out in round. It sucks. It's not what I'm not like killing him for it. I don't think it's because he's like not a great player, but it is I don't have I don't have it in front of me, but it feels a little like the last, you know, half decade of Marino, or maybe 8 years of Marino, where it's like, it's not like there were a bunch of deep, I know you didn't win a ring, but you had deep playoff runs. It's like, no, there's a lot of years where it's just like, you lost in the wild card round, you lost in round two, you missed the playoffs, you lost in the wild card round.
The Volume.
Thanks so much for listening. If you've enjoyed the podcast, take a moment, rate, and review. Summer is heating up because your favorites are now together with Hulu on Disney Plus. On Disney Plus, the TARDIS has landed for a new epic adventure in Doctor Who. Now streaming on Hulu, uncover a deadly game of truths and lies in the spy thriller The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. Now streaming Hulu on Disney Plus, available with a Disney Bundle subscription. Terms apply. Visit DisneyPlus.com/Hulu for details.
This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.